The views expressed in this presentation are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent the views of any lodge, Grand Lodge, appended body, or any other person or persons whomsoever.
Brethren, we are at refreshment.
And I think that's it that Marty talked me into.
The greatest story of how you got interested in masonry.
Had a bottle or two bottles, beer, whatever you want.
The 33rd degree is really cool.
All you gotta say was lapel pin or Chandler's coin.
Need to do this reduction plan of like what's really important.
It's nice. The grotto's more family oriented too, so that helps for sure.
Yeah. All right.
Love you guys.
All right. Love you.
That refreshing Masonic universe.
I mean, did you close that deal or did you just price it?
They were giving some.
Very good.
I like to give it to the whole.
Body travel insurance.
Why?
Body travel.
In case something happens to the body?
In case you die overseas and they have to transport your body, there's other. You can't just like put them in.
Fun five. Morgan Freeman. Make sure that his earrings. Are enough to
cover his
funeral
in
a foreign country.
That's old pirate right there. Yeah. That's why pirates had all that, would have all the jewelry and everything.
Yeah, so they could be funeral.
Yeah.
And pimps only wore jewelry, so they couldn't confiscate their money.
It's odd about a pirate.
Yeah, that too.
Heard about
pimps.
That.
Pimps have all the gold and all the bling, so because they can't get that can't be confiscated. Whatever cash they have on them is confiscated.
Yeah. That's why when they need cash, you'll see them go pawn it real quick. Yep. All right. Yep.
I really don't. Take one.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to the Ant Refreshment Masonic Potty.
Yeah. Podcast.
Do it again. Podcast. Do it again. Do it again.
Welcome to the Ant Refreshment Masonic Video Podcast. I'm your host, Wesley Reuter, past master of Azure LaGrange Lodge number 770 and Raven Lodge 303 in Oswego, Illinois. Let's meet everybody else once again. To my right.
Shit, I'm on the right today. Eric Maxa, Villa Park Lodge 1113, Chai Il Rado. Keystone chapter, as well as Chai Il High 12.
My name's Marty. I'm also in the Chai Tea Latte groups with friend Eric over here. Pazmaster Villa Park, friend to all. I love you guys.
Yoshi, Pazmaster of Villa Park Lodge, past High Priest of Keystone chapter, current monarch of Chai Il Grotto.
Allegedly.
Current chaplain of Chai Il High 12, and the other few bodies I belong to, I am not an officer in. So
good for you.
All right, and our guest today we have
John Madel.
I'd just like to point out, if he actually listed his things out, it would take up the whole episode.
Yeah.
No.
We're making him uncomfortable already.
Yeah. So Marty conned you into coming on the show to talk about a couple things.
Hey, but thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good to see you guys.
It's good to see you, brother.
I've watched so many episodes, actually a number of them, and
thank you.
I liked it. And I watched a bunch of them, and I enjoy watching them, but I'm like, I'm not going on that.
I've been arrogant. And I apologize.
Here you are.
And here I am. But he
keeps watching
me.
It, keeps watching it.
He got me
watching
here.
This? Keeps watching
yeah.
it.
Yeah, he, you know, I enjoy watching them and I think they're very good and I like the topics and everything. But yeah, it wasn't until he mentioned he'd like me to come and talk about the coins that, okay, I'm in. So
all right,
here I am. Deal.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, John. We appreciate it. Masonry as a whole appreciates everything you do.
Yeah.
Honestly and truly. And it's an honor to have you on here, man.
And really, I think before we get to the coins, we got to talk about the man a little
we
bit,
We do.
Right?
We need to talk about the man, the myth, the legend. Oh, wait. No, that's Viggy.
Can't
say the legend, yeah. But the man and the myth.
Yeah. Viggy totally
the
deserves a legend.
The beard.
I kind of felt a little humbled, too. I watched an episode where you guys had Juan on here, and, you know, it was really heartwarming to hear some of the nice things that were said, and I appreciate that. I think you guys go a little overboard, but thank you.
John, a lot of us look up to you, buddy.
Yeah,
really,
John,
don't.
Like, for real, you did I know you were definitely there for my third when I was raised, yes. And I want to say, was he there for my first two?
Oh, I don't remember.
I can't remember. Either way, John, like, you know, look, no offense, because I get it a lot too. Looks can be deceiving. And I remember when you got up to do the lecture, I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. And then after the lecture was over, I was just in awe of how well you did that and how you had me on every word. You truly do. You did.
I appreciate that, because I do feel like that sometimes my voice, maybe I try to make a cadence in a lecture, but I think I will lose guys after I've given more than one lecture, because I've had to give a number of them for degrees. Mm. And I think by the time I've given two, three, or all of them, I've lost a guy because he's just hearing the same voice. So I hate that. But I try to deliver a nice cadence on each lecture, you know, to make it interesting. But that cadence is kind of the same on all of them. So by the time I've given one, you've kind of heard them all.
Yeah, it's kind of like an AC/DC record.
You know, honestly, like, John, honestly, you and Floyd, the two of you, whenever I hear you guys do the lectures, man, I am just like this. I'm like, this
Floyd's special.
You know, like, you know, for me, it wasn't the lecture that got me with John.
Ooh.
The first time I was awe-inspired with John was his education on our trip around the launch.
Yes, that, oh, God. The one that is such a beautiful
education. You come here to do that for Entered Apprentices before, and we really appreciate it. You kind of go over the prayer and everything you walk through.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting education piece. And because you move around the room and make it interactive, it really hits.
That's really my favorite. And that thing has evolved. I mean, to where you guys have seen it recently, when I first started doing that a few years earlier, it wasn't quite there. I've seen and learned a bunch more things that I think are really pertinent to that. So, I guess you guys seen the 3.0 version.
Well,
it's evolved, and I appreciate that.
Make a perfect Ashley.
Exactly. Yeah, you know. Exactly. But John, honestly, you know, please tell us, like, how did you begin your journey in the Freemasonry? How, you know, what brought you here?
So I didn't know anything about masonry, not even a drop, into my 30s.
Okay.
And I was living in, I had sold my house in Chicago, and I moved in with my girlfriend, who's now my wife, in Unicorp at Leiden. And the lodge I ended up joining, MIB, was in Franklin Park, which is just across Fullerton, across from where we kind of lived. So okay. I could walk to that lodge. And I would drive by that all the time, coming home from work or riding my motorcycle. And I never realized that was a lodge or nothing. I never even saw the bikes out there. So I must have always been going by, not on the same night. And somehow I was caulking on a job, and a guy started talking about it. And me and my good friend were talking about it. He's like, hey, what do you think, Johnny? Should we become Masons? Because his grandfather was a Mason. So I pushed a little further. Unfortunately, I went to work and I asked the wrong guy, and some guy who was one of those guys, he's like, it cost me $5,000 to be a Mason.
One of those guys. Okay,
did he do life membership and absolutely everything he could possibly do? Possibly. Or did he have to get his record expunged? Did, you know, so he didn't have a felony? I have no idea. But so that turned me off right away. Well, another guy in that shop, I was a Mason, but there was a carpenter shop that we would have lunch at. Another carpenter by the name of Jim Sulius, some months after that, I started talking to him. Mm. And I said, listen, I'm interested in joining it. What's this about?
Now, when you said you became a Mason, you're talking about an operative Mason.
No, I'm talking about speculative.
Okay.
Because I joined the, so I'm not necessarily a bricklayer like Aaron was. I'm what's considered a tuck pointer, caulker, and cleaner. And we're part of the masonry trial trades. So we do mostly restoration work. Now, it's supposed to be if we do too much stone, terracotta, or brickwork, we're supposed to call a bricklayer in, but sometimes we're allowed to do so much, and that's really what we do. So a lot of restoration work downtown and around the city is us.
Okay.
But I've been doing that since I was 24, so early 90s to mid-90s.
Okay.
And, well, actually what happened was, how I really started talking about the masonry was, I took my rat bike to a motorcycle event, and I saw some Masons there. And I'm like, you guys are Masons? I didn't translate the Masons with biker mentality, but these were Widow Sun guys.
Okay.
And they're like, yeah. So I started talking to them. I'm like, you know Jim Soulias? And they're like, yeah, we know that. So, and it turns out they really didn't like him. But so I go back
Can
to the
you
shop.
Imagine that.
So I go back to the shop and I start talking to Jim. And he goes, oh, they're members of my lodge. It's right there in Fullerton. And he told me the address. I'm like, that's walking distance from my house. How could that thing be there? And I didn't even know about it. So he gave me this crazy book, and I bought one on my own right after. He goes, read this and tell me what you think afterwards. And it's full of great information, some weird stuff, and then some like stuff that would make you run from masonry for the rest of your life. And I came back and I says, listen, man, I'm not into all this. I don't know about this new one world government. And all. And he goes, that's all the BS part. That's fine. If you're interested, I could take you to lodge. You can meet the guys, have dinner. And that's how it all got rolling. And MIB was so busy that it took several months. I started going in May of 07, and I didn't get my first degree till January of 08.
Oh, wow.
That's how busy that lodge was.
Wow.
But I went every meeting aside from maybe two, every meeting, and I sat down there until those guys came back downstairs. You know, that was just me. That was, I thought if, I've always had the mentality, if you're going to do something like that around other men, you got to prove yourself.
No, that's dedication. And yeah, you're a union worker, and that's how it is. You pay your dues no matter what, you know, whether it's payments or you got to sit there and you know.
And I wouldn't translate that to union. I would just translate that to, you know, you have to be accepted among the guys you work with, right?
Yeah. You know, no, that's true.
For me,
I
hate kind of sometimes using union word, but
yeah, you know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know. I guess it's just so everybody understands the mentality of it. Mm-hmm. So you're not surprised by how it operates and all that you're going to go through. Mm-hmm. So,
well, no, I mean, you know, if you really, you know, if you really think about it, if, you know, when you go to union meetings and union, the union hall and everything, and everything's being discussed, a lot of the terminology that should be used, we kind of do use. You know,
they borrow from us. I'll tell you, when they swear in an apprentice to a journeyman,
you listen to
what they're telling the guy to repeat, and they're reading out of the book that Jack. You have done this for how many guys, and you can't learn it? But yeah, I'm listening to it, and it's like, it almost sounds like, you know, when you listen to our obligation, it's 18th century legal mumbo jumbo, right? All when you listen to all that, or accepted beat, that's legal mumbo jumbo. That's fine print.
Yeah,
the union does that a little bit when you're elevated from journeyman to apprentice, or from apprentice to journeyman. But what ticks me off is when they say the Pledge of Allegiance. There, it is quiet. When I go to a lodge and we say the Pledge of Allegiance,
everybody's saying
that. Really.
And it'll be a room twice as big as this with four times as many guys as the lodge has, and they can't even say it with any like
convictions.
Wow,
that upsets me. There's gonna be a time where I'm gonna tell them I go to a lodge and 20 guys say it way better than you guys.
Yeah,
and it has nothing to do with nationality. I'm just saying there's lots of, you know, Americans in there. You know, I mean, obviously our union has lots of guys from different countries. You know, Poland or Mexico, but nobody's really saying it with any kind of upsets.
That's terrible. You that.
You're supposed to say it with heart.
Yeah.
You're pledging your allegiance, kind of like how we pledge our allegiance to this fraternity.
And I know, right? I know I spun this off into that. But
oh, what a,
you know, emphasis. You know, you have to believe what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're just going through the motions, are you really truly pledging your allegiance to the flag?
Yeah.
No, I feel.
I mean, if you don't have your heart in it, then you're not in it. You're really not. No matter what it is, no matter it's you're just saying the pledge. It's not if you're taking your obligations. It's not only if you're swearing an oath. You know, if your heart ain't in it fully, then you're not in it, and you shouldn't be doing it.
Pledge of allegiance.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I gotta tell you, most times I go to lodge, I hear it. It's wonderful. You know,
it's emphatic.
It is.
You're really placing the emphasis on it.
Yeah.
So to tie back into your road, starting with MIB, if I'm gonna test my John facts right now. I believe the first chair you may have dabbled with was chaplain.
Yeah, everyone hears me talk about that. So yeah, you're right.
So okay, cool. So you start with Chaplin. You're in there. You kind of paid your dues. They made you wait a little bit. You're liking what you're seeing. When most people think John, besides great guy to know, it's you are an amazing ritualist. You are officially, you're on the Board of Grand Examiners for State of Illinois, I believe, correct? You are a grand lecturer, Scotch Rite degree team, all that vibe. When did you decide that your foothold in this fraternity was going to really be in that part?
It actually happened quite solely.
Okay.
They wanted me to get in line, but at that time, I still thought I was about to move to Michigan.
Okay.
And I said, no, I don't want to get in line because I might be moving. But they had, immediately after being raised, they made three of us who were just raised to take fellowcraft parts for the third degree. So I learned a part. And that was torturous. I mean, I was reading that second fellowcraft part in the car and just bombing on the first line over and over for days. And I'm going, this is impossible because most people don't talk that way.
Yeah.
And it was torturous, but I got it and I nailed it because I wanted to prove to the lodge that I could do it. So they heard my voice, and he said, the going in master said, well, if you won't get in line, how about being the chaplain? So I looked at the blue book for that, and I'm like, okay, you know what? I think I could learn that stuff because I actually never did the long form catechisms, but I learned the first one. Mm-hmm. But there was nobody in lodge because one guy left to help his wife start a business. He was the only guy that could really proof me for a long form catechism in open lodge. And after that, I quit really doing it, and I just did kind of a short version of that. So I took the chaplain's chair, and I was really happy there for 3 years. I didn't learn anything more. I just knew two fellowcraft parts because the other one was relatively easy after that. And then I got to hearing the Hiram part in the third degree, and I'm like, well, that's a prayer too. I should learn that. If I'm the noted chaplain of MIB, I should learn that. And that was arduous for me, man. That was just like learning lectures to me early on was such torture. It was like trying to teach yourself to walk. It's like you keep trying. I would torture myself with these lines. And once I had a couple lines in my head, if I had any idle time in my brain, it went straight to that. And that used to, and I'm going to go back to, you guys might enjoy this. We played Dungeons & Dragons and actually some more role-playing, even some Star Wars stuff for mm-hmm. many years. And I was always the game master. And I always had to come up with new stuff.
Yeah.
And that ended up just encompassing all my thought. And it got tiring. So that's kind of how learning lectures were first for me. Mm-hmm. You know, because I keep torturing myself with got to keep doing it. Anytime I had an idle moment. And
any tips you can give anybody how to
play
Dungeons and Dragons? I just played my first game last week.
You're done. So, oddly enough, I joined a lodge in the Upper Peninsula, and there's a guy from Colorado there, really interesting guy. His name is Dave Lawrence. Awesome guy. This guy has gone through just about everything in his life, and he started a nice, successful business up there near the college town. But he originally came from Colorado, where he joined Masonry. And he said there that there, at the time, or at least the lodge he was at, their blue books were only single key.
Oh, okay.
Single key means the first letter of every word.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have three A's in a row or something, because you might have and, as, and something. And I thought that was really interesting. He said, yeah, we could give ritual just based on the letters. Just practicing.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah. So what I thought was, I'm like, that's really cool. And he goes, but that's how I learned. So I proceeded to take all of our ritual, and I wrote it in single key, which means the first letter of every one. But I did myself a favor. For ands, I made the symbol and, so it wasn't an A.
Okay.
And I would just go about looking at, I would read, first I would read the lecture or what I, the ritual I needed to learn. I read it over and over a bunch of times, and then wrote it in single key. And I would go about just trying to read those first letters. And I'll tell you what, that's how it made me get every letter of every lecture. I don't mix up words unless I haven't been refreshed.
Do you really credit that to how you really ingrained it in yourself?
Yes. That single key made me focus on every word. Because when you read something, what will guys do? They start using a different word that's almost like that word.
Yeah.
It could even be
predicting it.
What they do. And they have that now in their head. And then when they continue to give the lecture, they may read it in a book to refresh themselves, but they never quiz themselves on it, so they never catch it. Now, I still had to be refined when I started going to Reuben Owens, and God bless him, man. He's way more awesome than I am, I think.
Reuben's the man.
When I went to Reuben, he had my blue book, and he was making pencil marks, you know, like, oh, you missed this word or that. But generally, I was close, and that's what I attribute the single key to.
Wow, that's cool.
But it would be neat. I mean, most lectures, it took me 3 weeks to learn, but I had been hearing it for a number of years because this is, don't forget, I was chaplain for many years, and I wasn't pursuing all this other stuff right away. It was actually many years of listening.
Right.
So that helped. But I learned every lecture in 3 weeks, aside from the senior deacon's lecture, which I learned early, and that took me definitely 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And that was, like I was telling you, the torturous part.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so torturous.
Yeah. I usually do, like, a memory palace type thing. So I get a picture of the word that seems similar to it and go with that. That seems pretty easy for me.
Right.
But the lectures, just going on and on, I have a difficult time with. It's easier for me to go back and forth with somebody.
I would used to sit as chaplain, watch a guy give the obligation or a lecture and go, that is amazing. How do they do that? So I'm telling you, if I could do it, everybody could do it. You can't.
You know what? You just got to put the time and effort.
I'm decent with words. I just still can't figure out when to knock.
Yeah. Well, you got that whole first degree. Oh, that God, whole first degree part. It's got to be explained to you, and once it's explained to you, I think that'll help. And I got a tip for you.
No, I mean opening lodge, man. I can't figure out when to knock, if it's before or after.
Opening short form.
I'm gonna tell you.
You don't knock until lodge is open.
Good to know.
Well,
and now you all know.
That'll be.
That's all right. Yeah, Raven, we're gonna
tumble
through our OB because we're doing stuff like that. So, all right. Well, we're gonna have to take a break real quick, and we will be right back.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right. Okay. And we're back. We're here talking with John, getting to know him a little bit. And now we're going to talk about his coins. I see.
They're two-sided coins.
Sure they're not three?
I can make Jesus Christ, three.
So that's it? That's on me?
What?
Yeah, bro.
So what do you really want to know about the coins?
Check it out.
At time?
John, you've been talking to me about this project for a little bit. I think you probably started talking to me about probably a year or two before we really got it rolling. Or you got it rolling, more or less.
Yeah, it actually goes back a bit further than that.
Well, dude, you have this great program. It's Upright and True, correct?
Well, that ended up being the website to help promote the coins. I had to come up with a name, and I was trying to come up with something that probably wasn't already taken online with all the other
which is hard
things.
Yeah.
And Upright and True just sort of kind of happened. So, yeah.
So I remember when you first explained these to me, and I don't want to, maybe I wasn't comprehending what it was, but what made you get up one day and decide that I'm going to create a coin system to acknowledge brothers? Where did this all start?
Well, I would say, first of all, it's always been a big passion of mine that people should always get credit for their work or endeavors.
Yeah.
That's how I operate at work. When I'm close enough with somebody, or even guys that I don't like, if they've done something, I think they should get credit for it. And, you know, maybe we're men, we're not supposed to like always pat each other on the back about every little thing. But in masonry, we're supposed to be brothers. We're supposed to try to bridge our connections a little tighter. So that, to me, is just a little bit more paramount. And what happened was, I thought about making a coin. Initially, the coin project started, since I was an instructor, I thought that CLIs and grand lecturers could have these coins. And anytime they went to a lodge and saw a guy doing something a little bit better than anybody else, at the end of that night, they might just present that guy and say, listen, this is from an instructor of this state. I think you're doing a good job. Keep it up.
Wow, that's cool.
Okay.
I started communicating that with different guys, and especially Omar Ali, who was kind of on board, but he just wasn't 100% sure. I went back to a kind of a drawing board, and it ended up morphing into a merit award coin, which is kind of what it is at present, mm-hmm. which is awarding different virtues to guys for things they have done in the Masonic fraternity or even outside of it. So I decided on three coins. It was going to be character, charity, and commitment. And I decided to put the Founding Fathers on there. And the reason the Founding Fathers ended up on there is not only do I have a love of the Revolutionary period and the founding of this country tied to Masonic, not that I believe all the Masons founded this country, but that's just where my interest lies. But I was going to do it for Green Dragon Lodge and our tie to, you know, why we called the Green Dragon Lodge, which was, you know, part of the Revolutionary period. And that really didn't sit well with them because I don't think they understood it 100%. Where was I going with this? I told them I would fund half of it if the lodge could fund the other half, and then they could pick it up as a fundraiser and maybe a notoriety thing for Green Dragon Lodge.
Very unique. Yes.
To draw members. And on the backside, I was going to have the colonial flag, and it was going to say the Green Dragon motto, which we kind of have on our mugs, which is faith, family, founding, and fraternity. And since it didn't really work well with them, it kind of went on a hiatus for 2 years. And then I just got really pumped and motivated. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this on my own now. Mm-hmm. And that's not really what I wanted to do, but I definitely needed the money. So I needed a couple grand. I funded half of it myself. I got 20 pledges. I think it was about 20 pledges on board who all donated $75 to help me get this going. What I promised all the pledges was each of three coins, and on the backside of each of their coins would be numbered 357. And I guess I should explain that each coin, the idea was you would present this as a gift to a brother. Either a single brother could buy this for a brother in lodge or a whole lodge as an appreciation or something. But to me, the special kicker was supposed to be that on the backside of the coins, there was a field where the coins would be numbered. And each of those coins, each of the three different coins have a specific number, and that could be tied on a website to that guy's name and his lodge. It would be a special gift where everyone could go back, and you could always see that coin 32 is designated to this brother forever. And so the website was another whole aspect that was supposed to arise from it. And I just thought that would be a special way.
No, it is. That is a great idea.
And that's the thing, right? So I learned about these coins, not from another brother or anything like that, but I learned about these when John actually came and presented them in person in our lodge to people who were being dedicated to. Mm-hmm. And he went through the spiel of what each was representative of or everything like that. And I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a great concept that you put in.
Great meritous ability in something should be rewarded.
And there's little Masonic things on the front of every coin. The backside, since it didn't go through Green Dragon Lodge, I had to come up with something. And the backside is actually Mount Emblem Cemetery here in Elmhurst.
Okay. Mm.
The 3, 5, and 7 steps with those pillars with the faith. There's actually statues of faith, hope, and charity with the square level and plum at the top. Except I added the. I always, all coins that I've ever done have always added that same all-seeing eye at the top. The proficiency coins, the Elmhurst coins, they always have that all-seeing eye on there somewhere. And I talked to the cemetery about legal rights, and they said, well, if you use the picture that, if you use your own picture that you took that of, we're perfectly fine with it. They had a talk.
Awesome.
Yeah, and that's yeah. why I ran with it. So, I don't know. I know I'm leaving out a bunch that would probably fill a lot of people in on more information, but it was really the pledges that helped me get this started, who I'm really grateful for. Todd Thorson of Elmhurst Lodge, who made the website, who every time he's had to like alter it from my new crazy ideas, it is just materialized into something special.
Todd's one of the greatest humans on earth.
That guy goes above and beyond, but he is definitely, he's got a short fuse because he sees all the bad guys. He has to deal with so much of the bad guys, but I think he is definitely reinforced by the good guys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's seen a lot of stuff over his years that I think he holds on to more than he should sometimes. But yeah,
every crazy idea I had to follow Marty into.
True. But Todd is literally that dude where you ask him for an inch and then he forcibly gives you like 3 feet. He's like, you're going to take all this love. And I mean, Todd, we've called you on the show before, but we love you, Todd.
You should try to have him just talk with you here. You know, he's done a lot for this fraternity. A lot of his own personal time and money and sacrifice, for sure. There's a guy.
Yeah, totally.
So how many of these coins have you given out? Do you know?
So another side thing. Okay, so I'm at 60 of at least the commitments, almost as much in the charity and character coins. So, you know, that's, well, you figure 60 of each, that's what, 120, 180, 100, almost 180 coins. And I forgot to mention, too, that everybody knows usually when I'm selling them that $10 of every coin gets put into a kitty. And every time I get up to $600, I take the $600, split it three ways, $200 checks go to each of the three youth groups.
Awesome.
Nice.
I believe you sent out an email about that today, too, to all the original investors.
So I was really contemplating all this today. I literally sent out, because of everybody buying coins, I was able to send out checks, the third run of checks. Nice. So three DMLA chapters, nice. Three Rainbow Girl chapters, and three Job's Daughter chapters have each received $200 checks to do with as they will. Now, sometimes they throw it back in international, and I don't care. That's fine. I'd rather see it be more local.
Yeah.
If they want to do a local charity or if they needed garments or to save for a trip that they always take.
They're always taking trips.
Right.
Yeah.
Whatever.
They should use it for their home chapter or whatnot.
But they've sometimes
be a little stingy with that money.
But if you just give kids money, then they don't work. They're also trying to teach those youth how to work and raise money. So if you just give them checks, then
yeah,
you know what I mean. So I understand too why some have donated to international.
They turned out like me.
I don't know.
Now, this it's your company that you do the.
Yeah, so that's the hard part. I remember it was about 2 years ago when I finally got it started, and I should have filled out all the paperwork for that. All I did was just open up a separate bank account where I don't touch. Everything that is for the coins goes there, and it's not really filed. If they have some dough, because
I'll just edit that out.
it looks like people are paying me a lot of money for nothing.
I heard was the money is for charity.
Just to be certain, it was never.
Don't back away from the table, Nixon. Just
it was never my motivation to make any money from this.
No, I don't think you have.
When I started it, I wanted it to be a notoriety thing for Green Dragon or possibly a fundraiser. You get, even if we got $2 off every coin, hey, what the hell? Because at the time, Green Dragon was struggling. But for myself, I did mark it up a smidge because I thought I was going to be shipping these coins all over the darn place. And that was going to cost a lot of my time and effort shipping them. And as it turns out, I've shipped very rarely. So the coffers got a bit bigger and I was able to buy in bulk, which brought the coin price down. So sometimes as opposed to the coins, once I divide them down after buying a lot, as opposed to it being $10 a coin, sometimes I've gotten it down as low as $7.50 or so.
Oh, wow.
Closer to $8, you know, it's under $8. And then that was helping me to save dough. So,
well, John, I have a strange feeling. I'm aware of the reach of our show, and I think you might end up shipping a couple after this episode.
And that's fine. I've actually been happy with the response of the coins not being too overwhelming and not too slow. If it was overwhelming, it'd be like, yeah, I got to spend a lot of evenings or weekends, you know, doing a lot of paperwork and such.
But no, we could put up a link for this, right?
Yeah, please.
You know, honestly, guys, we could try. If we get a link for this up, you know, honestly, click it, look at the website. If you know a brother that deserves one of these coins, you know, look into them. They are heavy.
We'll have to shoot some B-roll for
them. Yeah, these are heavy coins. There's a lot of detail on these. You know, if you know a brother who deserves one of these coins, you know, talk to the lodge or you do it yourself. Now, you know, get one for them.
Now, John, you chose specific founding fathers for each coin.
That was going to be my next.
Now, what kind of led you to choose these specific founding fathers? For instance, I'm holding Commitment, which has Paul Revere on it.
So Paul Revere, Commitment was like almost obvious. You know, it's amazing. If you know a little bit of stuff about something, it almost writes itself. Commitment was easy. Paul Revere is a guy who joined a lodge. I want to say it was in 1760s, it might have been 1750s, but whatever it was, he joined St. Andrew's Lodge, which ended up owning the tavern, which was Green Dragon, where also the Sons of Liberty met. And he had been a past master many times. He was the Grand Master of the Commonwealth of what, Massachusetts, right?
Massachusetts.
You're talking about major involved, wrote the Paul Revere charges that many jurisdictions use. There is a man of total commitment to Freemasonry. And when you look at the symbols that are on there, I got the symbol to the left of him is a past master's jewel that he made for George Washington. Even though George Washington wasn't super involved in Masonry, he was a member and he did like it. To the right of Paul Revere is the Anchor and Ark from a Masonic ritual. And just listen to that ritual and you'll understand why I chose him. On Franklin, you have the beehive because the man was super industrious in all his life. And to the left of him is all the things that he helped get started in Philadelphia. Churches, schools, fire department. The lightning bolt is on there because he never patented the lightning rod to go on top of houses that were grounded to prevent fires from lightning strikes.
Yeah, I remember reading about that.
And Washington has the Washington Masonic Memorial, and also the above picture of that, which has the captions written at the top of the George Washington monument that says Laus Deo, which is kind of like praise God forever, always be praise be to God. So
that's all.
But I also, before you guys cut this short, I got something that should be presented probably to Villa Park Lodge in session.
Oh.
But I felt this would be more special here.
Ooh.
I'll have one of you guys if you choose to read it or
guys, it's a wooden board.
On the backside.
Hey, read it out loud.
I'm reading it myself. Here, go ahead.
It's just the kindest thing anyone's handed me in a while. Showing it to everybody right here. We'll get some B-roll. The Charity Virtue Coin is presented to the 2022 or 6022 Line Officers of Villa Park Lodge, number 1113, for their kind and charitable display while visiting Green Dragon Lodge 821 on February 26, 2022, and for the gracious and charitable pursuits they are known for. Holy crap, John, I remember that now that you're
here. Everything that you guys, I've always heard about the soup kitchens and the Salvation Army lines. You guys, and I did say line officers. I probably should have said just the Brethren of Villa Park Lodge.
Nah, we know who's doing it.
But
with my,
to be fair. Hey, I'm not on there.
Yeah,
that's
so
with
my warmest affection for the Brethren of this lodge, it's my honor to acknowledge those in our craft who display the tenets and make this fraternity such a treasure. May heaven's blessing shine. John, I love you, buddy. Thank you so much.
So in the middle, it's got a charity coin. If you flip it over, And if you look with your phone, it's actually the number 21.
21!
So you guys got number 21. It's only listed on the website.
Our plaque's old enough to party. I love it. Well, John, I definitely wasn't expecting this. There's
another member of Villa Park over here that would like to see it, too.
His name's on it, too.
Yeah, yeah, your name made it on it.
On it.
Give it to the host first.
Oh, I the host requires payment, too.
Oh, that was for my first career, Junior Deacon.
Yeah.
Was it good? Yeah, well, it took me a while. I've been scheming this for a while, and now finally this winter I got around to doing it, and I decided how I was going to do it. And then when this was happening, I made sure I had it. So,
well, John, this is better than a hearty Pledge of Allegiance.
It's right up there.
Yeah. I don't know about that, man, but still.
Because it's got my name on it.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick with the pledge on that one, comrade.
Yeah,
John, that is super carpenter, cool. So it's a rough piece of work, but there you go.
It's the greatest
John,
thing.
John, that's beautiful, John.
And it's a, wow, John.
Hold on, we'll see.
It's not square. It's not square.
What's that? That one's good.
So up north, I got a table saw. I had to do that with a skill saw down here.
We're off by a half degree on this.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Is there,
light on the edge?
That light's getting through it.
Yeah. Oh, Christ!
It's not square work.
And so
you know what? That's true work, square work, if I've ever seen it.
Yeah, it's true work, good enough work, and by gosh, we're gonna pass it.
John,
that is beautiful. Man.
Just make sure it doesn't go in lodge since it's not square.
No, this is going. This is going up in that.
It's going in the main hall. Yeah. Man.
This might be for the members lounge.
No, honestly, I would honestly, John, I would love to have you present that in lodge.
Yeah, honestly, given like having a sneak peek is awesome, but actually having this presented at lodge, like guys are going
to. Yeah, so this episode.
The torturous part was how do I devise it that the coin doesn't get ripped off easily and snagged? like it shouldn't happen, but
right.
I can't help it. Hey, no, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
I can see a screw on the wall right there. It can go right there, next to the door.
We'll hire an armed guard to stand with him at all times.
You know, there'll be an armed guard at all times there.
John,
I'm
going to
get myself a post-it note, and I'm going to write my name on it, and I'm just going to stick it on there, though.
You can sign it. Well. You can say, I stood out in front of Jewel in the freezing weather on...
Many times.
We'll just hire the Worshipful Brothers McCarthy.
No. I kid, but no, this is, you know, I was not an officer in that time period. So it's like, you know.
And I did make the mistake that it was first in regards to when you guys came there and we passed a hat and a bunch of Villa Park guys tossed into it. And we weren't even asking them for it, and they did. And then I got to thinking about it afterwards about. I know you guys just going out and doing a lot of different charitable things.
We try, brother.
And,
more
so than I know other lodges usually get up and do. And you guys should be credited. You should get some acknowledgement. It's same as the coins. Some appreciation for it.
So. Coming from somebody who's still relatively new to lodge, I'm still less than 2 years into masonry. I have seen more beautiful acts of kindness and charity. Not just from my lodge, but when I visit other lodges and I see what every lodge does for their community, for their brethren. I mean, Elmhurst Lodge, Lombard Lodge, I know those guys do blood drives. We've done our own blood drives. And just working hand in hand with those close by lodges that we have and seeing what we're doing to improve our community, to improve ourselves, to just go out and just do for others and never really concern ourselves with the details of how much this event's going to cost. You know, Villa Park recently did the hot chocolate event.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't ask for donations. We didn't ask for anything back.
I think you guys are there, and I think everyone is.
We were just handing out just cups of hot cocoa on a cold day. We had a bonfire going to the site. You know, people could go chill and hang out around the bonfire, warm themselves. And it's just community.
Yeah,
and beautiful charity and brotherly love has really affirmed the fact that I love being in this fraternity.
Well said, brother.
Well said, man.
Very good.
Well, with that, I guess that brings us to the end of our episode.
A very, very quality episode.
Very quality.
Most quality.
Quality. Very quality.
So, any shout out?
Actually, you know, all the guys at Green Dragon Lodge, it's really one of the coolest lodges I get to visit. They meet Saturday mornings.
They have breakfast.
They're, yeah, it's a cat. Yeah.
We're meeting this Saturday.
It's a casual lodge, and, you know, in dress, it's not suit and tie. There's breakfast. All the guys are really cool. Shout out Matt Carth. I love going out smoking a cigar with you afterwards. They've had a great string of worshipfuls through there. Juan Gutierrez, who's one of my best friends, ended up coming through there. Inadvertently, he only became my friend because by happenstance working with you on Degrees, and you guys had to use our building one time, and Juan's one of my best friends, and John, you're someone I always look up to and admire. My wife says I drag her to too many Masonic Lodge installations, but she did say that the person who does them the best and the one she enjoys the most is you. So,
oh.
And that's, yeah, that's my big shout out.
You're lucky. She's very sweet, very sweet woman.
That's all I got today, boys.
All right.
Honestly, check the link below. We're going to try and get it up there.
Upright and true.
Coins. And smash like and subscribe.
Either if we put up a link, or we're going to have to like just make a regular post with a link or like pictures or something.
I mean, we could tag a link in
it. Yeah, like something. We got to do something.
I'll get it done somehow or another.
Yeah.
So, well, that's
we're the end. We're computer illiterate, and we have a podcast.
Yeah.
You guys are not me.
Ooh.
Well, with that, if you haven't figured it out, you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble. Listen to us on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and something else. Oh, yeah, SoundCloud. We still have that, I guess.
And just in the comments below, put where you're from. We'd love to see how far we're reaching out.
Please comment. Please comment. Like, tell us what lodge you're from, what state you're from. You Illuminati guys need to stop it. You gotta stop it. Seriously.
If you haven't hit smash, lightly touch the subscribe button, whatever. It's
a small click for you, but it's a big thing for us. So, yeah.
Gently tickle the like button.
Okay, calm down. All right, that's it. We're out of here.
Bye, everybody.
If they're Illuminati, you want to see their dues card.
Yeah, dues card.